Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is Steven Peterson of Criteria. Criteria's new album, Seas, its first since 2020, is out May 22nd via Spartan Records. Produced by Matt Bayless, the record finds the Omaha outfit in fine form with tuneful, adventurous songs such as Be the Spark and Embrace the Strange, as well as Lean Out, marking the group's continued evolution and ability to craft hooks that encourage listeners to reflect while bobbing their heads in praise of heavy riffs and emotive lyrics. Peterson recently spoke with me from his home in Omaha about the riff intensity heard on Seas, his primary guitar, and the events that inspired the lyrical content heard across the LP's 12 songs. That's Steven Peterson of Criteria, coming up now on Into Music. This record is really great. Thank you for making it.
Thank you. Yeah, I saw that you're into heavy metal, and you know, it's not metal, but it's definitely like riff heavy.
Yeah, it is. It is. And that really struck me. Tell me a little bit about that riff intensity.
Yeah. Well, so I've always been into, part of it is the guitar I play. I play a guitar called a Travis Bean, and you can see one of them in the background here. Let me just pull this bad boy off. It is, the neck is a solid piece of aluminum. And so there were about 1,500 of them made between 1976 and 1978. And I've got a couple of them. And the first one I got because a bandmate owed me money. And he's like, I don't have the cash, but do you just want this guitar? And so I was like, yeah, cool, I'll take the guitar. And the guitar sort of changed how I wrote songs. It's a very like metallic sound. And because the neck is made of aluminum, it's like perfectly flat. So I don't know if you play guitar, but most guitars have a wood neck and they have like a natural bend to them. And so the action, the distance between the strings and the fretboard, has to account for sort of that natural bend that you get with wood that's under tension. With an aluminum neck guitar, it has no bend. So the action, the distance can be really close to the fretboard, which makes it easier to play. And because it's easier to play and it has this metal sound and it's just kind of this like mid-rangey sort of biting tone, it just, my style became more percussive. It became more like a rhythmic, as opposed to just sort of strumming chords, which I still do, but it just lent itself to riffage.
Those must tour well, though, too.
They do. So here's the one quirk is that when we tour in the wintertime, the neck gets cold. And so I take a blow dryer on tour with me to warm up the neck, especially like if we're in the van all day and it's cold, the guitar takes a while to warm up. Like the neck takes a while to warm up. And so we try to accelerate the warming of the neck because that is the one thing that messes with the metal, is that cold can kind of change. It does it all consistently, but it takes everything from being perfectly in tune to being a little bit sharp. And so we try and get it, the guitar down to its normal room temperature. And the other thing I would mention is they're very heavy. So you kind of got to earn it. Like my shoulder is messed up from it, but worth it.
Wow. That's really cool that you found that. And you say you have a couple more.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was a time when I had three and now I just have the two. And I kind of wish I had held on to that third one. Just because we play in, there's sort of three main tunings that we make music in. And this new record in particular is in a new tuning that I had not made music in before. So I kind of wish I had that third one so we could just have all three tunings ready to go when we play live.
So you wrote this in C, right? That's the tuning that you,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, C C E G C E. No secrets there. That's just the every time I like go through a series of writing songs, I like to do well, let me ask you this. Have you been to like a and if the answer is no, it's totally understandable, but like a perfume counter or like a cologne counter,
Oh, yeah.
they'll have like a cup of coffee beans that like you smell a scent and then you smell the coffee beans, and the coffee beans are kind of like a palate cleanser for your nose. And it sort of hits reset on your nose. So for me, after I get done writing a bunch of songs, I will tune the guitar to something I've never played in before, just as a palate cleanser to sort of help me forget what I was doing with that normal standard tuning that I would use. And after the last series of songs, I found this tuning and would normally just use it as a palate cleanser, just to kind of reset my brain. So when I come back to the tunings that I typically use, it feels fresh. But this one just kind of stuck. And I wound up writing, I think 11 of the, well, I know 11 of the 12 songs on the record are in this C's tuning.
Well, just to talk about the guitar too, because then, like, when you do different tunings, right, that's going to require a little change of setup. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And the nice thing about the aluminum neck guitar is it can kind of manage the change in tension without the neck bending. But the intonation gets a little tricky. But yeah, ideal state, every guitar has its own tuning. But if there's a good dynamic tensions of all the different tunings without kind of getting out of tune, so we should get like a little money on the side for supporting Travis Bean.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's dead. He died maybe, I don't know how long ago, probably 10 years ago. And I think there's a company that bought his plans for his guitars and are remaking them. But this is one of the original babies.
Where did he make them out of?
California, I think he was in Southern California.
Okay.
And he ran a machine shop, I think, and just decided like maybe this could be a cool material for a guitar. And it is pretty sweet. Like it just like aesthetically, like you can see that's the T for Travis in the neck, in the headstock, which is pretty sweet. And each of them have their own little, let's see if we can do this. There's like a little number there. This one is number 1083. You can't really see it, but they're all numbered, and each one, I've probably played half a dozen of them, and they all have their own sort of feel and personality because they were all handmade.
Amazing.
Yeah, so that informs how sort of the sonic templates of criteria as a rock band, that it is sort of this, it lends itself to kind of, I mean, it's heavy, it's physically a heavy guitar, and it is really fun to move up and down the neck. So from a riffing standpoint, it's just easier to riff. And then I also really like the relationship between the drums and the guitar. Like that's always been kind of a fun relationship in my head. And so getting it out into the world is it's just, I try to mix it up and do something interesting in terms of the relationship between the guitars and how the drums are hitting.
So when you're writing, are you playing at like a and coming up with riffs like that? Are you playing at like a high volume, or are you kind of unplugged, sitting in the living room and
My wife is very patient. I'm playing at a high volume. Yeah, I'm trying to think if I've even maybe there's a Criteria song or two that its genesis was on an acoustic, but it's few and far between. It really is the electric guitar plugged in loud is how I do it.
I'm curious about the lyrical themes, because as I was listening to this, I was like, okay, This is like this stuff that we go through, right, at a certain, maybe many times in life, but I think there are times with age where it comes where you're like, okay, some of this stuff isn't working for me anymore. Things like that. Was that kind of where you were at when this story?
Yeah. So, yes, dead in short. Yeah, I was, I'd been working at the same place for about, at that time, about 6, 7 years. And maybe for some that is not a long time. And in Omaha, like where I live, like most folks go and they work a job for 30 years or whatever, and that's where they work. Especially in kind of sort of the professional world that I lived in. But I like a good professional adventure, and I like to always be challenged, and I'm not really interested in being super comfortable. And I had just been there for a while. And, when I joined, there was a certain group of folks that I was working with really closely that I just was very connected to. And over this, the course of about a year, most of them left. And so they were replaced with people I just did not share the same, no judgment, but just didn't share the same values and approach to, day-to-day professional living. And so a lot of the songs are born out of sort of the end of that relationship, that professional relationship. But I also, kind of post-COVID, a lot of my wife's and my kind of friend group started to, their relationships started to fracture, like the married couples. And so that was really the original genesis, was writing about the end of these sort of long-term romantic relationships. And then at some point I realized I'm also kind of talking about my professional life. I had a really good buddy who passed away. That sort of informed the tone of it as well. So just, there was just a lot of ends, a lot of not pretty endings. And so that was a sort of the primordial soup for the songs, like lyrically and thematically.
Well, this thing, when you're a couple and you have other couples as friends and they start parting ways, it gets very weird.
Yeah.
Because you might like both the people who are in the couple, but those friendships, in my experience, don't always stay. Very rarely.
That's absolutely right. And sometimes you're sort of, there's this command to take a side. And if you don't take a side, then you're sort of on nobody's side. It's very difficult to be on both sides and still maintain sort of a connection with both of them. We've had to navigate some of that stuff as well. Human relations are complicated.
Well, and at times like that too, I think we also start reexamining our own relationships and saying, how are we doing? How's the gas tank of this?
Yeah. Totally. And it creates a healthy worry, even in a good, healthy relationship, that you're like, these people that we really adore and love and respect as individuals aren't working as a couple. How do we make sure that doesn't happen to us? And, my wife and I have had that conversation, and it's a, ongoing, we're always working on it, because it is, we've got three kids and I have a fairly demanding job and I've got this crazy hobby making music. And, a lot of my day is taken. And so making sure that I'm still making time for her and to be a dad and all the other really kind of most important things in life, get the right kind of attention and commitment from me in the moment. Cause I'm often elsewhere, thinking about riffs, Jed, thinking about big riffs.
I liked what you said about the work thing too, because in, I think, a culture where work is so embedded in everything we do. Yeah, that feeling which I've had, which is like, you know, this is fine, but I don't know if this is what I want to be part of. You know, am I doing what I was put here to do?
I know that I'm lucky because I have that privilege to, you know, really kind of chart a path that works for me, as opposed to, I mean, working at a place where it's like, hey, they're not going to fire you. They're paying you money. You can do the job. Stop complaining, you know, which I think a lot of people maybe are, I don't know if trapped is the right word, but they just don't have the optionality. It's really hard to have. It's rare to have that optionality. And I'm very lucky. Hungry Steve right there. Hungry Steve is a lucky dude.
I wanted to ask you too about I Am the Sun. So is that autobiographical or is that a character study?
Those are my parents. My mom was the first and only, she's 100% Sicilian and was the first in her family and only in her family to go to college and maybe even graduate from high school. She was raised by a wonderful man named Rosario, who was illiterate. He never learned to read or write. And she went on and had a very successful professional career and wrote books and traveled speaking and is just like a true, like, amazing American success story, woman of action, just a force of nature gal. So that is my mom. And my dad is also kind of an intellectual. He's also very heavily educated and has all but dissertation PhD in philosophy. And then he went to law school. And so he's just a very contemplative, graceful, thoughtful man who in his retirement spends a lot of time on immigrant rights and acting as sort of in a legal capacity for a couple nonprofits here in Omaha. And just doing like really good. They're both raised Catholic. They're both like the best version of what it means to be a Christian, and really special people. And there's this thing called praxis, which is like really living out the values of Jesus. I'm not religious. Jesus was a phenomenal guy. If he truly existed, he was fantastic. And my parents truly like tried to live their lives like Jesus lived his, you know, and, you know, without judgment and with concern and care for the least of us.
You've been listening to a conversation with Steven Peterson of Criteria. The band's new album, Seas, is out May 22nd via Spartan Records. You can learn more about the album at spartanrecords.com and find Criteria via their official social media channels. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. Send us your questions and comments at info@kmuw.org and find all the latest programming notes on that website as well. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time. And as always, we like to remind you that our theme music is composed and performed by Torrin Anderson.